From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 22nd day of March, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half-hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Logan Kimmel of Roach Ag Commodities. Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities is out of the office this afternoon. We'll hear about the weather forecast from Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics in Chicago and discuss the cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Oh, and Chad Hart, agricultural economist from Iowa State, will join us to take up the prospective plantings report, which isn't all that far away now, less than 10 days at the end of the month, and it will all happen on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn settled at $5.49 a bushel today, down 8¾ cents. July at $5.31½, 7¼ lower in December, down 3½ cents at $4.68. May beans at $14.17½, up 1¼. The soybeans in the July at $14.04, up a penny. In November, new crop down 4 at $12.16 even. Bean meal futures $11.30 lower at $396.60 per ton. And the bean oil at $53.75, up $2.25. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby April at $118.77½, up 37½. The June at $118.92½, 25 cents higher. And feeder cattle finished the April at $139.42½, unchanged, and lean hogs at $95.80 higher on the afternoon. Crude oil futures $61.58 a barrel, about 14 cents higher on the day. The price of diesel fuel or heating oil is around a penny higher, at $1.83¾ and gasoline on the RBOB at $1.96¹ is a penny and 0.6¢ higher. Natural gas at $2.57¹, up 3¢. The U.S. dollar at 91.73, currently trading down 0.190. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 32,625 is up around 122 points. The S&P 500 at 3937.25 is up 37½ points. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of our program anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. And if you'd also like to use it as a podcast, that's possible. Easy enough. Just scroll down the page. You'll find things like Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, and Google and Apple Podcasts, too. Logan Kimmel from Roach Ag Marketing now joins us in Naperville, Illinois. Hi, Logan. Thanks for being in today. I appreciate you filling in for your father. Thanks so much.
Hey, no problem, Todd. I appreciate you having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened in Chicago. What's your take on the trade there today?
Kind of all over today. I would say the big news out in the soybean oil market and the meal market, you had the May contract up limit on soybean oil and actually synthetically traded up 385. Big move there, brought the beans up with it, but you also had soybean meal down almost 12 bucks. I think it really does feel like there is a short squeeze, maybe some spread unwinding just in the global seed oil market, a shortage. You know, if you look at sunflower oil out of Ukraine, that's trading at a 30% premium to our bean oil here. So it did cool off there last week, but you're getting the buyers right back in that market here today, very much so. So I think that's what really kind of helped push the beans, ended up closing green here today. Then that market caught some fire today, that's for sure.
What is Roach Ag Marketing thinking about next week's USDA reports, both the grain stocks and the prospective plantings figures?
Well, I mean, I think we'll see some higher acreage. That's been the talk and the general consensus, on next week's report. I think longer term, however, if you're looking at the balance sheet, exports should go higher, and you might see a little bit of a reduction in feed demand. In regards to the exports today, we had our inspection reports, and corn came in 77.2 million bushels, and that was about middle to the higher end of the estimates. And the beans came in right where essentially the trade was estimated, middle of the range. So we think overall the reports, again, you'll probably see some higher acres, but things are awful tight. And I think we have to see our crop here first to really know what's out there and know that we're going to have a crop in the field here.
Fundamentally, how do you view the crops in South America?
Those worries are starting to work their way out of the market. I think we've gotten further enough along. Overall, I think there is more of an issue than what has showed up. but now you're working your way into the safrina crop, which is behind. You know, again, overall, we think there might be a little bit more of an issue that's shown up to this point. But that harvest is well underway and moving its way along.
What are you suggesting to producers about new crop sales, if anything?
For right now, we're sticking to corn. We are in a sell signal right now on old and new crop corn. We think making some sales here makes sense and are planning to have 2 to 3 more opportunities in our growing season this spring and summer. So we are recommending producers, especially on bushels that do not have a home at harvest, get an increment done with the intentions to have another sale or two this summer on bushels that don't have a home on a harvest. On the beans right now, we're in a holding pattern. We're about in the middle of a buy and a sell. So we're hanging tight right now on new crop beans for a sell signal. And right now we're recommending to make some corn sales on new crop.
I am correct that you want producers to make scale up cash sales for corn that would have to go to the elevator this fall because there isn't a place for it on the farm.
That'd be correct, yes. We're selling some of those prices here on bushels that you do not have room for, that need to have a home at harvest across the scale. So we think it makes sense here to get an increment of that done. Again, saving some bushels for another 2 to 3 opportunities this summer to increment up if we get more sell signals and higher prices.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Uh-huh. That's Logan Kimmel. He is with Roach Ag Marketing in Naperville, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, just one quick item. It involves the CCC. That's how the MFP payments were derived. And the potential to use it for carbon sequestration. Rodney Bain has more from USDA.
Might the Commodity Credit Corporation one day also be seen as a carbon bank?
Remember, the charter of the Commodity Credit Corporation speaks specifically to markets, stabilizing markets, and yes, creating markets. So it's really designed for this kind of opportunity.
Yet Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, speaking at Monday's AgriPulse Ag and Food Summit, says before that could happen, deliberate efforts must take place first to establish a carbon market system that benefits farmers.
To make sure that we learn to walk before we run, that we learn how to set this up, what to do in terms of providing the incentives. Is this a bank that should pay for carbon credits? Is this a bank that should guarantee a price for credit? Is this a bank that potentially should finance the improvements necessary to embrace carbon sequestration and capture? We obviously have to have input from farmers.
The secretary adds that the CCC has both responsibilities and adequate resources to cover payments under existing Farm Bill programs.
We're not going to jeopardize our ability to do that, I can assure you.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
By the way, in an executive order President Biden issued on the 27th day of January of this year, it appears that there's a precursor for the Secretary of Agriculture to look into some kind of carbon sequestration option going forward as it's related to tackling the climate crisis. I have posted a link to that executive order on the willag.org website and some directions as to which section to look in for more details. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. As you get ready to go to the field this spring, I'd like you to do something. Take some time and work with the Bluetooth radio that's in your tractor cab. and set it up so that you can listen to the podcast or maybe just stream us live directly from the willag.org website at willag.org. Live stream's up at the top of this page. Look for AM. Otherwise, you can scroll all the way to the bottom of the page and you'll find the podcast applications and choose your favorite one. That could be Apple or Google, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, or maybe you could just play it directly from the website by hitting Closing Market Report there at willag.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, agricultural economist from Iowa State University, and Extension there now joins us, Chad Hart. Thanks, Chad, for being with us. The marketplace has been, I suppose, bumping along the top end, fairly volatile for both corn and soybeans. It appears to be simply waiting for the end of the month reports. Is that your take?
That is my take, because I think when we're looking at sort of what the market's been doing over the past couple of months, it's just been looking and waiting to see, all right, what sort of action do we see in terms of acreage when we get out into the fields, you know, here within the next few weeks, along with what's that international demand looking as we look further down the road. And so I think you've seen the market sort of seesaw back and forth over the past few weeks. My guess is that keeps going at least here for a little while until we get to that prospective plantings report and we get that first really good firm indication about how acreage is going to move this spring as we look forward to the 2021 crop.
One of the items that many have been wondering about is how farmers in Iowa will deal with the impact of the derecho and what it might mean, if anything, to the 2021 growing season. Will there be much of an impact, in your opinion?
Probably not when it really comes right down to it. I think what you're going to see through that, especially a lot of that area in eastern Iowa, is, you know, they tried to work that ground over pretty good this fall. My guess is we'll work it, you know, have worked it pretty hard again this spring. And you'll also look for either the possibility of, you know, they can go back corn on corn so that they can manage for those second year corn plants that are going to pop up there. Or, you know, the idea is that they, you know, they know what to watch for if they do plant beans out there, that they could see more volunteer corn popping up in those places. But I think when it comes to the overall acreage mix here within the state of Iowa, no, we're going to hold to the pattern despite the weather problems that we've had the past couple of years.
How do your, if you have them, that is, projections differ maybe from USDA's ag outlook for corn and soybean acreage across the nation?
Well, I got to admit, I like where USDA is at right now, just because when you look, I think it is this sort of wrestling match right now of, you know, what USDA sort of laid out there is corn holding above 90, you know, put them at 92 million acres, put beans at around 90, reflecting that we have seen, you know, sort of a shift, if you want to think of it this way, in the way farmers approach the crops that they grow now. Beans has been that more attractive option over the past decade. And what USDA sort of did was they put themselves in a position where, when I look at the private estimates out there, USDA's sort of playing in the middle. The idea is they may be a little bit lighter on the corn than some of the trade estimates, but they're also maybe a little bit heavier on the bean side. You know, I was just looking at, you know, FAPRI just came out a little bit lighter on the corn, a little bit heavier on the beans than USDA. On the other hand, Allendale sort of flipped that around. Same thing when I'm looking at, you know, I'd say the most extreme I've probably seen thus far would have been the Farm Futures survey that was done about, I think, a month ago, which showed nearly 95 on the corn side and only 85 on the bean side. So I think even, you know, just if we talk about the markets and the prices have been flip-flopping back and forth, I think you see the same thing on these acreage estimates. Sort of until we get to April, it's really hard to tell which of the two crops is really going to see that bigger acreage bump.
Anything that you're suggesting to producers on old crop or new crop corn or soybeans at this point?
Probably the biggest thing I've talked to them about, especially on new crop, is
protecting some of this, the price that we've seen here and, where we've been able to hold over the past couple of months. The prospective plantings report does represent, a sizable piece of information, which can also mean that we could see a sizable shift in prices right now. So if I can lock in some price floors, especially as I look at new crop, I'd be looking at doing that right now just because of that risk getting ready to be taken off the table as far as prospective plantings.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Well, it's Chad Hart, agricultural economist from Iowa State University in Ames. We're now joined by Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics in Chicago. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today, Mark. I appreciate that a lot. Producers across the growing regions of the United States, some of them, particularly in the South, would like to get in and do some planting over the next couple of weeks, and that'll move northward. What do you see for the beginning of the growing season?
Well, Todd, coming up here, we don't see any major issues with planting across the southern U.S. Now, in recent days, across portions of the Delta, they have seen some drier conditions, but that is going to change as we go through this week, as there will be some more unsettled weather that really starts to kick in over the next couple of days on Tuesday and Wednesday and continue on through next week. But then overall, that doesn't look to last for an extended period of time. So in some ways, it looks a bit more of a normal pace here, but no sign of any kind of major issues here, large scale heavy rainfall or flooding, or the flip side, any really dry areas that look problematic at this early stage of spring.
I did take a little drive across the countryside. There's some standing water from the rains that were received in my part of the world last week. I suspect that'll be the case in other parts of the Corn Belt. What do you see in the coming days for the United States Midwest?
Yeah, we do see some additional rain systems coming through. In fact, several systems will cross the Midwest as we go through the next couple weeks and be producing then waves of rain, ranging anywhere from light rain to a few kind of localized heavier events here. But that looks to be the case primarily this week and the start of next week. But at this time, it doesn't look like a long duration, really wet pattern setting up for the early part of April, I should say.
Are those coming out of the western part of the United States, and do they have an impact on the hard red winter growing regions?
Yeah, they do. The storm systems are ejecting from the Rockies and southwest U.S. out into the plains and producing widespread precipitation in areas of the hard red winter wheat belt. In fact, we've already seen that in areas such as Kansas and, eastern Colorado, with some of it being snow back last week. And then with these additional systems, that will continue to boost soil moisture, especially across areas of Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma, but not much actually for the Texas Panhandle. That still is the one area that doesn't look to pick up as much moisture over the next few weeks.
What are the forecasts for places like Argentina, where they're getting close to the end of their growing season, meaning harvest will begin sometime in the next month or so? And then in parts of Brazil, where they're in the middle of harvest season, the further north you go, certainly, and they're planting as well, second crop corn.
Yeah, for the next week to 10 days, the pattern's going to be a bit more reversed of what it has been. And so specifically, that means Argentina and far southern Brazil will be on the active side, and then northern Brazil will be on the drier side. So with this pattern, that'll continue to benefit late developing soybeans across Argentina and southern Brazil. And then up north, that will benefit soybean harvesting, as well as pick up the pace of our early corn planting or winter corn planting across that area. At this time, the dryness across the Safrinha corn area is there. We don't see that lasting an extended period of time. as that is starting to become more of the focus of attention because of this turn to drier conditions. Now, we don't see this as being an early end to the rainy season there, but certainly, you know, a pretty dry window for the next 10 days.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics in Chicago. We're now joined by Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons, and they're right here in Champaign County. Hey, Greg, thanks for being with us today. From your perspective, what took place at the CME Group?
Well, it's been a very quiet day here in the office. The markets are down a little bit, but we had a big run-up in old crop corn last week. I think it was up 17 cents, and so we're giving back a little bit of that today. So some of those old crop, new crop spreads in corn are starting to relax just a little bit because they've gone up so much. But as far as overall farmer selling is concerned, it hasn't translated into any panic selling or fear selling. Farmers sold way too much, in their opinion, too early last year, and so they've already decided they're not going to make that same mistake this year. And so new crop corn and bean sales are probably 10 to 15% of their expected production. And normally they're probably 25 to 35% sold, especially with these kind of prices. But last year, old crop, they're probably 90% sold on beans and 80% sold on corn. And obviously they feel like that's too much. So they're just not selling new crop yet. And, you know, we've got the whole growing season ahead of us. So I guess I understand that.
What are the risks?
Well, the risk would be if we plant 4 million more acres of corn, that's enough acres of corn. It's hard to imagine that we're going to get 7 to 8 million or more than 7 to 8 million more acres of beans. So I don't know that the bean acreage risk is there yet on that March 31st report. But the acreage number, obviously, the stocks number on the 31st is also another potential risk. And in China, they have been big buyers of corn as of late, but they have been known to transfer some of those sales from unknown to China, cancel some of the unknown purchases. They could push sales from old crop to new crop. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that is a risk. So those are probably the two biggest risks right there, the government stocks number and acreage number on the 31st, and what China continues to do from here on forward.
How are conditions shaping up in East Central Illinois for the new growing season?
I think they're excellent. We've been extremely dry the last 6 months. We've had a fair amount of rain over the last couple of weeks. Some farmers are concerned with the forecast that you know, it could continue to rain and cause delays, but I don't think there's much subsoil moisture below. So yes, it's wet on top, but a week of warm, dry weather, and I think we could get back at it pretty quickly. So at this point, I don't envision too many planting delays, spring delays, but I think we're in good shape. In fact, I wish we could have got some of this rain earlier and to try to replenish that subsoil moisture a little bit better, but we're as good as we can be at this point, and you know, we'll see what April, May, and June bring.
Indeed we will. Hey, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson from the Andersons. He joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.